All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's been 2 weeks since we've spoken with Chris.
Yes.
Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic and Iowa Everywhere. He joins the program.
I'm going to guess he was drunk on a plane a couple of times in his recent travels.
He's been on a bunch of planes in his recent travels. Glad to be home this weekend. Or wish you were still working. I'm guessing the latter, but right?
Yeah, I'd much rather be working, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's been a good run, though.
Yeah. You know,
like, Kansas City was awesome. Omaha was awesome. And then, you know, Boston, work aside, Boston was really freaking cool, man.
Isn't it a great city?
Yeah, I would love to go back there and not have work.
Yeah.
Be able to explore for 3 days.
Yep.
Like, I'm a history nut. And
plenty of it there, Chris.
I had so much fun. Like, the little, you know, I it's funny, too. It's just really random. Like, I can't even know me long enough. I get into these things where I become obsessed with certain parts of history, and over the last year I've been just studying the Revolutionary War a lot. So being in Boston was awesome for me. So really, really enjoyed that trip. I definitely want to go back.
Yeah, indeed. And maybe there'll be an opportunity. It seems like TJ's going to be taking this program. Look, it's not every year you got a Sweet 16 in you, but boy, what he's done is historical, Chris, in this time. You know, one of my bigger takeaways from this tournament for the men was listening to TJ Otzelberger. And you're around him more, certainly way more than I am. You've got a good relationship with him. Just how comfortable he's getting in front of the national media, answering their questions, having some fun. He seems to be way more comfortable than he was when he first got there, that first Sweet 16 run. Do you see that, or do you know him too well?
No, yeah, I absolutely do. I think that, I don't know that he ever wasn't comfortable, but I think that when he's talking about his team, I think it's really important to realize that, and we've talked about it on this show a lot, is he didn't want to be playing the 300th pace in college basketball 2 years ago. I mean, it's not really him. But he saw that as a way, well, how can we be able to compete to go to NCAA tournaments? And that was the only way to do it at that point of the program. I think the more he's gotten comfortable with his team, the easier it is to talk about it. And, you know, when you've had some success now and, you know, you're at the point where you've kind of earned it, right? Like, you've earned some notoriety and stuff. I think it's easier to sit up there and talk about yourself. He's a pretty humble guy. And, you know, and he's got more experience with it, too. But he's really good as far as, you're not going to find many media people who don't like him.
Right.
Right. He's been really respectful to the media dating back for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an assistant. And I think that definitely shows. And yeah, I mean, to me too, though, it's just, I think it all goes hand in hand because he's way more comfortable coaching this style of team than he was. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're always going to be that defensive, grind it out, do it the way that they do it. But I just think, stylistically, this year's team's a lot more like what you'll see in the future compared to the first 2 years, for sure.
I want to talk with you a little bit about the bigs and the big guys coming back next season. Well, incoming with DeSean Jackson coming in from Charlotte, and then JT Rock. What you've heard about him, his development, redshirting this season, arrived at campus a year early, but decided right away back in the fall that they were going to redshirt him. What you've heard about his development and what kind of player Jackson's going to be.
Well, I know that they've pretty much penciled him in to be their starter at the five.
Mm.
He seems to me like a weird hybrid, I would say, between Hassan Ward and Robert Jones. He's definitely a more skilled offensive player than Jones was most of his tenure. I don't think he's as good of a rim protector as Ward was, but he's probably, you know, better offensively. As far as Rock goes, that's really going to depend on his offseason. I know that he's developed quite well. I mean, that looks brilliant now, bringing him in a year early.
Yes.
But I think that the realistic expectation is that JT can give you 10 to 15 minutes next year. That would be the hope. The other thing is, as long as their portal happenings go down the way I think, I mean, I think they're going to be 1 to 13 considerably more deep and talented next year than they were this past year. I mean, the Heisey kid from Northern Iowa can play three positions.
Yep.
I think they're going to get this kid from Colorado, the 42% three-point shooter.
Kurt Jones's cousin.
Yep, Curtis Jones' cousin. And then it's going to be down to a couple of other guys and they're who are bigs who, you know, I think would – I don't want to say an upgrade over – I think Robert Jones
– phenomenal career.
Part of that.
Yep.
Yeah, like I will not talk down about him. And he brought so much to the table that people didn't see on game day. So that's a big loss. But I'm just saying, like, from a pure talent standpoint, there'll be a better roster, I think, next year when it's all set up.
So what's Jones – have you heard what he wants to do now that he's exhausted his eligibility? Is coaching in his radar? Does he want to go and try and make some money somewhere playing? What do you think Robert Jones – where's he going to be?
The last I heard, he didn't want to play basketball anymore. He's really smart.
Yeah.
Really, really smart guy. He's going to get his degree. I think he's getting a graduate degree. And I know he – man, I don't want to misspeak. It had something to do with, like, basketball and kids and starting, like, an academy or something like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's an AAU program, but I know he wants to stay in the game. But he is a future CEO type. That's how I see Robert. He's – really bright dude, and yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could probably, at his size, go play in Europe or something, but I think he has bigger things in mind.
Good for him.
That's awesome.
Good for
Absolutely.
Him.
Still, yeah. They got a ton of open scholarships still. What do you anticipate, the tinkering, what they're going to be doing here? You mentioned the kid from Colorado. That one makes a whole lot of sense. What else, though?
Well, so that would be number three, because they got Nate Heisey, and due to my calculations, I think they would have one scholarship left. And you're already kind of getting, you know, you've got Rock, who is there coming off of this red shirt, and then you have the two freshmen. You have a point guard, and then you have Noyos Aldustros. I'm butchered his last name.
Yeah.
But he's a hell of a three-point shooter, guys. Like, this guy is kind of like a little Momchilovic Jr. coming in. So you've got that. And then I think that this last spot, there are a couple of bigs. One of them is William Kyle from South Dakota State, who dunked on Iowa State like 15 times, felt like, in that first round game. And then there's another kid out there who I don't even know for sure if is in the portal yet. There's a couple of other options as far as big guys go. But you're really – at this point, looking to add a big guy for depth. And then you pretty much can tell. That's assuming they get Javon Hadley from Colorado, who, I mean, you look at it and you go, what were they lacking last year? And you could have used another shooter.
Yep.
And then you could have used another versatile defender who could play multiple positions. Well, that's Heisey and that's Hadley. And then you've got to refill. You've got to replenish your bigs. And I think that'll be a bigger challenge than what I'm probably saying here. It's easy to look at Dixon and, you know, or DeSean Jackson, excuse me, and go, wow, man, he's 6'11". To play with the motor, I mean, we saw Oshuni, right? Like, he couldn't really compete that well in the Big 12. He was fine leading up to that. So all these big guys, to me, are wild cards to some extent. Even if you would get, you know, a William Kyle who's got UConn and Nebraska and Iowa State, and he's got all these high major offers. It's like, man, it's a big jump from the Summit League to the Big 12, where you're playing against 23-year-olds and at that spot. So to me, that'll be the biggest question of the offseason. It doesn't matter who they get. It's like, how can they develop these guys and get them ready for the Big 12?
Fascinating to watch. Just of the guys that left, I don't think anybody fell off their chair with any of them deciding to enter their names in the portal. Pavelski, did you see him? Did you call his best basketball at Iowa State? As I think back, he seemed to really burst onto the scene in that Thanksgiving trip that you did the play-by-play for. Would you say that was the case?
Yeah, I think he had some moments. But that's definitely when he came onto the scene, though. You're right. I mean, the thing that always impressed me about him is it didn't matter when he got put in the game. It didn't feel like there was a huge drop-off, at least offensively. The problem is he's just not big enough. And you saw it, you know, to me, it really stood out to me in the round of 32 in the Sweet 16 how small Iowa State was compared to Washington State and even Illinois. Like, that Illinois game, that'll haunt Iowa State fans for a long time. And maybe I'm a homer, but I think Iowa State beats that team 7 out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, you know, these 50-50 type balls that Iowa State just feasts off of, they weren't getting them in those two games because of the length. You know, it was clearly like a thing. And, you know, credit to Illinois, they got those. And that would, to me, like with Pavelski, it's like, man, go down and become the next Clayton Custer, right? Remember, he played at Iowa State for a year. Yeah. Drops down to the Valley, leads Loyola to a Final Four. He's a legend now. He's on Porter Moser's staff at Oklahoma. And I think that's the type of career that Pavelski could have. If I'm, you know, Ben McCollum at Drake, I'm calling him. If I'm Ben Jacobson, I'm all over him. Because I think he could be really, really, really good at the mid-major level.
Interesting, yeah. And there's going to be a lot more comings and goings on that front. What do you hear on the women's hoops front after this incredible freshman class? I know a couple of players that entered the portal on that side. What are you hearing on the women's team?
So, I didn't really know this, that the women's tournament, or the women's deal, like the rules are all different as far as like in-home visits and stuff like that. So it was explained to me that the women's portal just takes a little bit longer to fully develop. But so Iowa State lost Bristow, and that wasn't entirely shocking. I think if you look at those five freshmen and you say you're only going to lose one to NIL and stuff, that's probably a pretty good offseason for Bill Finley. So I'm certain they will be out in the portal to do a few things, but I also know from what I've been told, again, it's just slower because of the women's calendar, so don't expect movement. But I think that after this, you know, dead period that's happening right now, things will really pick up on that front. Mm.
Football-wise, Caden Proctor going to be a Cyclone?
No. God, no. He's going to Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't even know how else to put it. I think he just has a lot of friends on that Iowa State team and went to Southeast Polk.
Probably so.
He's going to Alabama. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but he certainly caused some made some waves, I guess. And I'm sure
there's got to be more. Do you guys know what's going on there? Is he pissed at Iowa? Like, why is he? Is he trolling people? I don't even know.
I don't know either. But when he showed up at Iowa State's practice, maybe it was just to visit his buddy Sama.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably what it was. And read nothing more into it. But still, we want to read more into that story, right?
I know. It's juicy. I completely agree. But I've asked, and I was told very clearly he's not going to Iowa State. So.
A firm no.
Yeah. Hey, Williams, I know you've been watching the women's side of things. What do you think tonight, Iowa-UConn? What's your take on the game?
I think Iowa beats them by double digits.
Wow.
You really do?
I know. Hassel thought I was crazy when I told him that. Iowa's playing at a different level, and I think that UConn, Paige Beckers is amazing. They've got talent up and down the board. Geno's unreal.
Not very deep, though.
They're not. They play like seven deep, and they get into foul trouble at all. I think Iowa runs them up and down the floor. I think Iowa loses to South Carolina on Sunday, unfortunately. But, yeah, I love Iowa tonight. I think, you know, Caitlin neutralizes Paige, and the supporting cast is considerably deeper what Lisa Bluter has to offer. So give me, I like Iowa a lot tonight, but I don't like them against South Carolina. I think that's a bad draw there in the championship game.
Yeah, for a lot of teams, I think. Other football news, serious football news away from the Proctor frivolity, if you want. Anything percolating football wise? Any names that you're starting to hear that are starting to, you know, catch some of the coaches' eyes?
Not a ton. I do know that they're pretty happy with the transfers that they brought in, though. It didn't. Generally, with those guys, you can kind of tell the day they step on campus if they're going to make it. They really like that little scat pack they got from Eastern Michigan a lot. I think he'll be probably their featured kick returner. It does sound like the lineman from Wisconsin, Dylan Barrett, is making a push to start at center, which I don't think anybody really thought. I think he was more of like a depth piece. So.
Yes, what we were told. Yeah,
that's definitely encouraging. And there'll be a few guys I know entering the portal, but nothing that should surprise anyone unless there is a surprise. You know, and that could always happen. You always have to leave that open. But that's just, you know, once the football portal opens on April 18th or whatever it is, that Basically, that is guys who don't like where they're at on the depth chart, and they're going to drop down a level. Generally, what happens unless there's like, you know, huge money offers going to somebody, which is totally, you know, unfortunately legal, and that's just kind of college football these days. But yeah, I don't. It's been pretty boring over there, which is usually a good thing.
Yeah, indeed. Did it blow you away? Maybe I'm just naive. And I know that Dickinson apparently got $1 million from Kansas last year, but Storrs turned down $750,000 because he didn't think that was enough to leave Wisconsin to go play for Kansas. He turned down $750,000. Chris, that blows me away.
It's out of control.
It is.
And the problem I have with it is not that these guys and gals aren't worth money. They, of course, they are.
Yep.
But there's part of me that really, I hear so many stories about these young people who don't want to leave. Like they're happy where they're at, but they're getting tugged in a million different directions with money, and you know, just other people who are adults who are greedy. And sometimes they end up leaving a place where they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they're happy there, and they're becoming an adult there, and like they have a support, but they leave for the wrong reasons. And like, you know, just going off of me, and I had a really good family life growing up. I was, I think I had my head on pretty straight, but I was still an idiot when I was 18, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't think through things. I didn't have the perspective, and there's got to be something out there to protect the players, because, you know, these offers are great until the collective blows up, like what we saw happen at Michigan State, right? And what out there is to protect them? There's nothing. So to me, like, that's the side of this that nobody talks about, and it happens all the time.
Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic, and Iowa Everywhere. Chris, thanks for giving us some time. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week if your schedule allows. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yep, see you, buddy. Chris Williams, as we check in on Iowa State. No news, boring football camp. That's good.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
When you got 20 starters coming back.
It's true. That's a
no news is good news, because normally
that's a great point.
Either people leaving or people getting hurt, and that's not what you want.
And their spring game is, where are we in April? Is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks away? Both of the schools. Are they 3 weeks away? They've got to be 3 weeks away from football spring game, right? What's the date today? The 5th? So 21? Yeah, April 26th, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
I saw the press release came out yesterday. It did not stick in my mind.
Yeah, nor mine. Anyways, we will hear from Tom Kakert when we come back. Look forward to catching up with our buddy Tom. HawkeyeReport.com. He joins us next, previewing tonight's nightcap. What time do you think it tips, Trent? 8:45, 8:50, somewhere in that time?
That sounds about
That's
right.
That's what I think it will be, too.
I think they're going to try to get that first game. It's not going to go to 6:15 like it did last time, because you got at least 25 minutes between games.
Right.
At minimum.
Right.
So I think this is going to be more like 6:05 probably.
You're not going, you're not going to different venues.
Right.
They would get, because it didn't tip till 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get underway at 6:05, maybe they get it in by 8:40, 8:45. Anyways, Miller and Condon, we will hear from Tom Kakert. Trent's Plays of the Day still to come. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon, welcome back. 12:30, Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Murph and Andy from 1 until 3. The Drive with Heather and TBD, as Sean is on vacation, but they'll take it from 3 until 6. Again, watch party. Heather's going to be steering the ship tonight. Valair Ballroom as the Final Four. I'm guessing they'll show both games. We'll get there early if you want, but the main event is the nightcap, UConn and Iowa. Is that why we haven't Tom Kakert on today?
That's probably
a pretty good place to start, right? Hello, Tom Kakert. How are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing terrific. Hope you guys are doing well.
Absolutely. Hearing some love for a double-digit win. Not a lot of intrigue. I was going to blow past UConn tonight. I'm not so sure I would be willing to go there. I do think that they can win. Just from your perspective, before we kind of delve into some of the keys in the game, on the surface, where are you, Tom, as to how this game's going to go tonight?
Yeah, I think Iowa's going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game because it's a UConn team short on bodies, and I think that might be kind of where it gets decided. Iowa, with their tempo, might just be too much for them. But, they're no disrespect to Kim Mulkey. It's probably the best coach team, at least both sides of the floor. You know, the LSU team did not seem all that interested in playing at one end of the floor. They really liked one end, but they didn't like the other end at all, and they were getting beat down, up and down the court.
The Angel Reese, what a job she did on the offensive boards. I mean, she had 20 rebounds overall, but Tom, she's so good at what she does, right? Her strengths, and that's clearly one of them. Boy, oh boy, that was incredible to watch.
Yeah, but they weren't interested. You know, Iowa just said, we're just going to run on you.
Yep.
And they couldn't get back and couldn't keep up with them. And, you know, and listening to some folks who were courtside and hearing Kate Martin saying, they're tired. Let's keep running. They're tired.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's just so when you hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, they knew exactly what they were doing and it worked. Worked to perfection.
Really did, and now it is a matchup against UConn, the power program for the last three decades.
Well, it doesn't get any easier, does it?
It's just one more step up the ladder. They can't say Caitlin took the easy path this year if she's able to do it and win a national championship. What do you anticipate, though, that Connecticut is going to do? What are they going to do defensively? Something different than certainly we've seen probably the last two rounds of the tournament.
You know, and I on our podcast, I called them the New York Yankees of women's college basketball, and they are.
Yeah,
they're kind of the evil empire, if you will. You know, they've been the omnipresent program, and it's interesting that 2 years in a row, Iowa's facing. You know, last year it was the all powerful South Carolina team that had no blemishes on their record, and they beat them. And then this year, you got to take out UConn. And Gina Wareama is kind of like the last thing that Lisa Bluter has not done. You know, she's finally got over Kim Mulkey, has not gotten over Gino. I think lost the last six times they faced UConn. I think most of those are against Gino, and there's several of them in the NCAA tournament, including 4 years ago in the bubble in San Antonio, where they lost to Paige Beckers and that UConn team that was a lot deeper. And you know, Caitlin was just a freshman, but you know, they got beat. So this is opportunity for Iowa. I think UConn's going to try and control the tempo. I don't think they want to get in a track meet with Iowa. Buell, the point guard, I think she's going to probably take Caitlin, and she was trying to check Juju Watkins the other night from USC. So she's a good defensive guard. I just don't know that she has the size to really give. So I think she'll play obviously better than Haley Van Lith did, but but I just don't think they're going to be able to hang with them. I think if Hannah Stolke has a good game, Iowa could win by double figures. But I don't know if that's there. But if they can get the center in foul trouble, then I think Iowa's got a chance for double figure win.
Yeah, Trent and I were talking about that. We see that as one of the keys as well. Since you opened the Van Lith door, let me take a step through it with you, Will. Because I've been asked, and I don't know. Do you think there'll be any interest from Coach Bluter in seeing if Van Lith would like to be a Hawkeye next year?
Too early to tell.
Yeah,
I think.
But you're not ruling it out.
They're going. I'm not going to rule it out because I think they're going to assess the situation, and I think they're going to at least maybe look in a little bit. You know, but how much of her struggle as a point guard this year was just the entire situation at LSU?
I think it had a lot to do with it.
And how much of it was just she's not a very good point guard? That's the $64,000 question, but they could certainly use her as a guard. It's just, the thing I've heard is that there's a couple of SEC schools and, maybe a couple of Big Ten schools that are interested, but it wasn't really an Iowa thing. It was more like incoming Big Ten schools. So that kind of, made me think, back home, perhaps is one of them. Maybe UCLA mm-hmm. is another one. But that just those were my two thoughts off the top of my head. But you know, back home seemed like a mm-hmm. kind of a logical choice there too. So, and you know, she's got you know, she would come with I don't want to say baggage, but just some extra things. Got kind of, yeah. you know, crazy parent syndrome around her, too.
So didn't know that.
Yeah, that's something that comes with the, you know, comes with the car, so yeah. to speak, you know.
Dad's not Jonesy crazy, but he's on the precipice.
Yeah. He's in the neighborhood. Yeah.
That's a different level. Is that what you're saying?
They shop at the same store. We'll put
oh
it that
my
way.
Gosh. poor girls.
I know.
I couldn't take it.
It's rough. You really do feel for it.
I do. I really do.
If we get to Sunday,
too.
Tom, the motivation Dawn Staley will be able to use. I know it's a different team, but Cordoza is still there. She knows how to push those buttons. If we get that one, if it sets up with that, I mean, this South Carolina team, much better shooting team than they were a year ago, can't use the same game plan they used last season. In a way, I know they were this behemoth a year ago and they pulled it off. Could even this year's squad be more difficult for Iowa to upend them a second time?
Oh, yeah. I think the South Carolina team's even better. And they don't have, you know, Iowa could just basically slough off of Bree Beal and some of the players on South Carolina and just, hey, go ahead, fire away.
Can't do it.
And they couldn't, and just do good enough on the defensive glass to not let South Carolina get away from you. But boy, they're, and you know, Dawn Staley will have them ready to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the kind of coach he is. Assuming, of course, you know, they get past NC State. You know, Wes Moore keeps knocking off people too. So, you know, they just keep trucking along and keep winning games. But like South Carolina is just a different animal, and they'll have the revenge factor. But got to win tonight first, guys. So
no, I know. We're looking ahead. But, you know, we go back to Monday night, South Carolina, with the three of their starters combined 3 for 21, but they had 22 offensive rebounds, to your point, Tom.
Yeah.
They really attacked the glass, and South Carolina goes deep. They play 9 players. So this is the waters. As deep as the water is now, there's still another level of depth.
Yeah, and the box scores don't – I mean, if you would have told me that Iowa got out-rebounded by 18 against LSU and LSU made 8 threes, I would have told you that Iowa lost that game. And it just – you know, they just – sometimes the box score can kind of mislead you down the path of, oh, okay. But you know, South Carolina's – they flirted with getting beat. You know, even Indiana had them on the ropes a little bit. And you know, they just sort of like, as you know, the kids say, they like to play with their food sometimes, you know, and just kind of goof around, and just it doesn't seem like they know how to put people away. And that pressure too, you know, I go back to like that Kentucky team that was undefeated, that got beat by Wisconsin back in the Final Four, you know, Sam Decker hitting a big three or whatever in that game to put Wisconsin ahead late. That pressure to go undefeated is still, it just grows on you as that tournament goes along.
What are you hearing? I know Kyle's back there for you guys at Hawkeye Report, along with Dennis, your photographer. What did Kyle say about the mood? I watching press conference is one thing, and not being able to hear the press conference is another. But that aside, have you talked to Kyle at all? I know you've been doing some podcasts with him. Just kind of the mood of this team.
Yeah, and talk to some other people, and it just seems like, and I mean this no disrespect to them playing in Iowa City, but maybe the best thing for them to happen to them is to get out of Iowa City, and just kind of after winning those first two games, because it just felt like the pressure of the world was on them, and now they're just kind of just together out doing their thing and playing basketball in Albany, and then just going straight to Cleveland. And I thought it was interesting that Lisa Bluter said the lesson she learned from last year was not to try to do everything once you get to the Final Four. You don't have to do everything. You can just be more selective and not try to spread yourself too thin. And maybe she felt like they did that last year at times, where they just tried to do everything and just soak in the experience. They've had the experience, so now you can kind of pick and choose your things, and maybe the focus is more basketball this time around than just kind of experiencing things. But I, the thing that I've also noticed, and I'm sure you guys have noticed it too, Caitlin's demeanor is very different since they got out of Iowa City. You know, she was kind of barking a little bit and kind of chippy, if that's the right word. Now she's just, I kind of termed it like she's Neo in the Matrix. She's just kind of seen everything at a slow motion at a different level than everybody else. And she just seems to be at peace with things. And she's not, and I'm curious how her demeanor will be tonight, because tonight it amps up a little bit more. If she can stay in this kind of peaceful mode, but she's just so under control in those situations and finding her teammates, and their assist to turnover ratio has been fantastic the last two games. And if she can keep that up, she can will this team, find this team to a national title. I really believe that they can do that.
I'm with you. Again, tonight, as good as Beckers is, the best player on the floor, be wearing a Hawkeye uniform. So the men's game, Trent, you done with the ladies? I'm starting to see some names at least show up on, have been contacted by Iowa. Are we any closer to knowing, a couple of names that may decide to play next year for Fran McCaffrey?
Not yet, but, they're in kind of a dead period right now. But the Final Four, they always kind of shut things down recruiting-wise. So, but I think next week you're going to start seeing a lot of things start to pop. I saw a new name, Jameer Brinkus, the guard from LaSalle. Jamari Thomas, another guard from Norfolk State. There's another guard from North Texas, Jason Edwards. So they're putting their line in the water for some people. Miles Foster is a forward from Illinois State that have gotten involved with a little bit. So they only want to take two guys, and they want to take one that's kind of a point guard and then another forward / center type player that has some experience. So, I think that they're not the level of urgency of some of the schools where they've got like six openings. Iowa doesn't have that. So, and I don't know that they're going to take three guys, even though they've got three scholarships open, but they might if the right guy comes along and it's, a guy that can take off the books in a year, so they can use that for a high school player.
Basketball has dominated the conversation. We got spring football happening, though. The Nuggets, they're hard, Tom. Are you finding the same thing? I've been searching. I've been talking to some people that usually have some stuff. I'm coming up empty. How about you?
It's been pretty quiet.
Yes.
But I have heard that there have been more explosive plays this spring than there has in the past. So take that for what it's worth. The offense is showing some signs of life, and it feels like they're making some progress. And that's, but there's still a lot of work to do. And I feel pretty good saying they're probably going to be hunting in the portal here very soon for another quarterback to be the backup.
So this this good news that the offense it's not predicated on what kind of spring Deacon Hill's been having is what you were saying.
Yeah, I just don't think that things could change.
Yep.
But I think that we're going to get to the reality that probably Deacon's obviously not going to be the backup, and then Marco Lanez might not be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to have a different option. Got to have a different option because Cade's missed so many games the last 2 years.
Unfortunately, that's been the MO. We'll get you out of here on this. 0, 1, or 2 Big Ten championships won this weekend. Our championships won by Big Ten schools won this weekend.
I'll probably say 0 is my guess, but I think Iowa's got a better shot than Purdue does.
You do?
I think UConn's a runaway freight train right now.
They're playing unbelievably well. What they did to Illinois is like, yikes.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It really was. Tom, we'll talk to you next Friday. Spring game 2 weeks from Saturday. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. He's got men on the ground in Cleveland covering this. You can read it at HawkeyeReport.com, part of On3. Thank you, Tom. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yep, see you, buddy. Okay. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, as we check in on the Hawks. Same question, 0-1 or 2?
0.
Yeah. I think you're right.
What kind of odds if you gave me over a half? If you gave me 2-1, I'd think about it.
Okay.
Give me plus 250, I'd bet on it.
Well, we'll find out what you're going to bet on when we come back. How about that?
All right, I'm ready.
Have you
for
got
it.
How many of the Final Four games are on your list?
All of them.
Great. That's next. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Back to Miller and Condon on KXNO and Trent's Pick of the Day, presented by Circus Sports Iowa.
All right, Miller and Condon, final couple of minutes here on a Friday. Murph and Andy show coming up next. The Drive from 3 until 6. Rashee Rice, the very talented receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was involved in the car wreck, the Lamborghini, which he was driving, and the Corvette, which apparently he also owns. Breaking news. 10.8 grams of marijuana was found in the Lamborghini that Rice was driving. In the state of Texas, that is a felony that requires jail.
Interesting. Good thing you don't live in Texas.
It's true, Trent. It's true. Driving from California through Oklahoma, you know, two states that are kind of favorable for that, you set the cruise a couple of miles per hour below the speed limit. Two hands on the steering wheel, 10 and 12, or no, 10 and 2.
10 and 2 all the way through.
All the way through, and you exhale once you get through it. But yeah, no, that's a... Texas takes it very seriously. And they found that in Rice's car, so we'll see where this goes.
I bet he'll get a good lawyer.
You think?
Yeah.
Probably so. All right, Trent, let's get some good picks. What are you playing?
Oh, one of the craziest things when I was looking at the baseball slate... Now, we've seen point spreads, money line point spreads, really increase when we've seen that gap grow. Because in the past, you could never get anything, you know, minus 250 would maybe be the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves tonight against the defending National League champion Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Spencer Strider, who's excellent.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Against Henry, they're a minus 317 favorite, though.
Against the Snakes?
Against the Snakes. I have to do it.
You have to do it.
At plus 278.
Arizona's good.
If you bet baseball, you got to swallow hard a lot. And it stinks, and it's not a fun existence, but that's what you have to do.
Right.
It's just how it is, and I will do just that. So, yes, give me Arizona plus the 278. Two other games, two other favorites, slight favorites in this one. Give me Baltimore minus the 119 against the Pirates tonight. And I mentioned Hunter Green, and then he made me sad because he told me he was on Apple TV with the Reds. Now, it's not going to matter because women's basketball is going to be dominating the screen.
Yep.
Game one, give me the Wolfpack. This is a Wolfpack 1-2 step. I'll be on them both on the women and the men's side of things.
So you've got them covered in both cases?
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Purdue's men's props that I really like. Lawyer over 1.5 threes. I like DJ Burns under points.
What are his points? Do you remember?
I think it was 15. Teen?
And for him to come out and say that Edie's never faced a player like me scoring wise, I got to lean under.
That was just a questionable one at the very least. So I do like that under on that front and a couple of Purdue overs, but I do think it's going to be an okay game. Purdue wins, keeps him at distance, but wins by 6, 7, 8 right
now. All right.
On UConn, give me them on the men's side to roll past Alabama. But we get to the big one tonight. 8:45 ish tip off. Emotional hedge.
Yeah, lose your bet.
Give me the Huskies. I'll do it on the money line so the point spread doesn't even matter. Sure. Plus 130. Sure. We'll go that route and hope that I am dead wrong once again.
Yeah, I hope you are too. We'd love to see this game on Sunday. Curtain comes down. End of an era. Is it tonight or is it an encore on Sunday? We shall see. You shall hear from Murph and Andy. They're coming up next. The Drive from 3 until 6. On Monday morning, it'll start again with the Morning Rush. They're on the air at 6. We're Miller and Condon. Weekdays, 11 to 1. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.